ఆత్మనం కన్యయాగ్రస్తం పంచాలన్ అరిదుషితం దురంత చింతమాపానో నలేభే తత్ ప్రతిక్రియం ఆత్మనం కమ్యయాగ్రస్తం పంచాలన్ అరిదుషితం దురంత చింతమాపానో నలేభే తత్ ప్రతిక్రియం
word for word.
Dushitam Duranta Chintamapano Vetat Patik.
Thank you.
Atmanam himself Kanyaya by Kalakanya Grastam being embraced. Panchalan Panchala Aridushitan infected by the enemies. Duranta insurmountable. Chintam anxiety. Apana having obtained. Na not. Lepe achieved. Tat of that. Pratikriyam counteraction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When King Puranjana saw that all his family members, relatives, followers, servants, secretaries, and everyone else had turned against him, he certainly became very anxious. But he could not counteract the situation because he was thoroughly overwhelmed by Kalakanya. Kalakanya is old age, you know already. Yeah. When a person, Prabhupada says in his purport, when a person becomes weak from the attack of old age, the family members, servants and secretaries do not care for him. He is then unable to counteract this. Thus he becomes more and more anxious and laments his frightful condition. Now, I was reading this, I was thinking that, actually I should, Om Agyana Chivirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master was forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Panchakalpa tarupyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanan pavanepyo vaishnavepyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivash Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When I was thinking of this, I was considering that this is a difference between a culture that's based on spiritual principles and a culture that's based on sense gratification or materialistic ideas. That in a spiritual culture, one is respected as one grows older because one is considered to have developed knowledge and realization spiritually and just about basic material life. Whereas in an animalistic culture, being weak means that you naturally have to become victimized by the strong, even if the strong happens to be your parents or elders. Yeah, as soon as you become weak, you become a liability. And not only that, we become a victim. So this is the difference between materialistic and spiritual life. So in the next text, Narada Muni says that the objects of enjoyment became stale by the influence of Kala Kanya. Due to the continuance of his lusty desires, King Paranjana became very poor in everything. Thus he did not understand the aim of life. He was still very affectionate towards his wife and children, and he worried about maintaining them. Even though they were being very rude and cruel to him, he was still anxious for their well-being. And Prabhupada says, this is exactly the position of present civilization. Everyone is engaged in maintaining the body, home, and family. Consequently, everyone becomes confused at the end of life, not knowing what spiritual life and the goal of human life are. In a civilization of sense gratification, there cannot be spiritual life. Because a person thinks only of this life. Although the next life is a fact, no information is given about it. So we hear how people become sad and lament because they're getting old, because they can't enjoy life anymore. But for a devotee who's actually advancing in spiritual life, there's some relief in realizing that he or she cannot enjoy anymore the objects of the senses and gives one the power to draw closer to the Lord. That's if the devotee has acquired some positive spiritual realization. So I was when I was reading this, I was remembering another place in the first canto where Prabhupada says in the purport that the material relations are based on reciprocation of material enjoyment, which depends mainly on material resources. Therefore, when material resources are withdrawn by the Lord, the devotee is 100% attracted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Thus the Lord snatches the fallen soul from the mire of material existence. This is the kindness of the Lord. He allows our material... they naturally diminish anyways, so as they diminish, he uses this opportunity to... Because we're like, you see, we're drowning in the ocean. And when we realize it, then the Lord knows that when he tries to rescue us, we won't fight so hard. We don't have the strength. So he takes the opportunity of our so-called weakness to grab us out of this immaterial illusion, even if there's just a little bit of receptivity. Of course, if there's no receptivity, Prabhupada says, what poor Krishna can do. Well, Krishna's not poor, but Prabhupada says like that. He feels sorry that Krishna's trying so hard to rescue us, but we're so stubborn. So the next verse, with the longer purport, I will read the text, and then I won't read the purport all the way through. I'll just say a few things, and then we can have time for questions, comments, corrections. Huh? The city of King Puranjana was overcome by the Gandharva and Yavana soldiers. And although the king had no desire to leave the city, he was circumstantially forced to do so, for it was smashed by Kalakanya. Purport. The living entity, separated from the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tries to enjoy this material world. He is given a chance to enjoy it in a particular type of body, beginning with the body of a Brahma, down to that of the microbe. From the Vedic history of creation, we can understand that the first living creature was Lord Brahma, who created the seven great sages and other Prajapatis to increase the universal population. Thus, every living entity, according to karma, his past desires and activities, gets a particular type of body from that of Brahma to that of a microbe or a germ in stool. Due to long association with a particular type of material body, and also due to the grace of Kalakanya and her maya, her illusion, one becomes overly attached to a material body, although it is the abode of pain. Body is the abode of pain. Every step of life we experience pain. Coming out is already such a trauma. There's even a kind of a trauma therapy that's done for babies coming out of the womb now. They're beginning to understand that it's hell for these kids. And then they try to pacify the child, which, okay, it's nice, but it's not going to help in the long run. And then as you grow older, other kids pick on you and tease you. I remember when I was growing up, they used to call me Egghead. It's horrible. And I thought it was because my head must be shaped like an egg. So I go look in the mirror and say, why does my head have to look like an egg so these people can call me Egghead? If I had to realize what they were really saying, I'd probably be even more distressed, because egghead means stupid, right? Isn't it? Oh, does it? Oh, okay. So it wasn't so bad having an egghead. Well, they said it very derogatorily, so I thought it was because my head was shaped like an egg. It was so painful. And of course, becoming a teenager, you never look good enough, especially, you know, the media. The media makes, you know, feel like unless you have this product and that product and buy this thing and that thing, and we didn't have the money to get this product. So it was hopeless. I was suffering so much. And that's why Krishna let me become a devotee, because I was thinking it was such suffering. Not because I realized that it would be suffering all the way, but it sounded pretty convincing. Up until that point, I had suffered so much. Okay, even if one tries to separate a worm from stool, the worm will be unwilling to leave. It will return to the stool. Similarly, a hog generally lives in a filthy place eating stool. But if one tries to separate it from its condition and give it a nice place, the hog will be unwilling. The Prabhupada says a hog won't eat halva. Probably the Vrindavan hogs would, though, right? The Vrindavan hogs, if you gave them halva, they'd probably eat it. Uh-huh. In this way, if we study each and every living entity, we will find that he will defy offers of a more comfortable position. Although King Paranjana was attacked from all sides, he was unwilling to leave the city. In other words, the living entity, whatever his condition, does not want to give up the body. But he will be forced to give it up, because after all, this material body cannot exist forever. So we can hear from this purport that it's so essential that we have information about the difference between the body and the soul. Otherwise, the condition is very, very severe. And getting this knowledge, we have to properly understand it. If we don't properly understand it, then we're also in trouble. In the Bhagavad Gita, at chapter 13, 15, text 10 and 11, Krishna says that the foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body. Nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. They can't understand it. I remember when I was a young girl, I had a very dear friend who died suddenly. And I couldn't understand, and I was very upset. And some people were trying to help me understand it, and others were getting on my case because I was lamenting. But nobody could help me understand. But Prabhupada says here, but one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all of this. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all of this clearly. But those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, though they may try. I remember I was trying, but I couldn't understand. It was very, very difficult. So Prabhupada continues in his purport, the living entity wishes to enjoy the material world in different ways. And therefore, by nature's laws, he is allowed to transmigrate from one body to another, exactly as a person transmigrates from the body of an infant to a child, to a boy, to a youth, to a man. This process is constantly going on. At the last stage, when the gross body becomes old and invalid, the living entity is reluctant to give it up, despite the fact that it is no longer usable. Although material existence and the material body are not comfortable, why does the living entity not want to leave? And Prabhupada answers, as soon as one gets a material body, he has to work very hard to maintain it. He may engage in different fields of activity, but whatever the case, everyone has to work very hard to maintain the material body. Right? So it's not so easy to give up something you work very hard to maintain. You get very attached because you're putting all your energy into it. Unfortunately, society has no information of the soul's transmigration. Because the living entity does not hope to enter the spiritual kingdom of eternal life, bliss, and knowledge, he wants to stick to his present body, even though it may be useless. So he has no higher understanding. He doesn't understand there's something much better waiting for him if he only will work properly to gain it. Consequently, the greatest welfare activity in this material world is the furthering of the Krishna consciousness movement. So unless one has positive information of how to live happily in Krishna consciousness in this life and while preparing to enter eternal life with Krishna, religion becomes a commodity that one can accept or reject according to one's experience of it. I know my poor mother, she was so distraught at the Catholic religion that on the many occasions when she came close to death before she finally left her body, every time a priest came, she said, out. I can meet my maker without you. Out. Of course, the last time it happened, no one was in the room. My sisters and brothers just saw the priest entering, and they also saw him come out. So they said, what do you think Mom said? They said, we're not exactly sure. We have an idea, but we do know he came out a lot faster than he went in. She rejected religion. She did have some idea of God, but it was rather impersonal. I remember talking to her on the phone a few months before she died, and I said, did she have an idea of God? And she said she had some idea of God. God wasn't male and he wasn't female, but he was very kind. Well, she still said he. So obviously she felt, and that he loved everybody. So she was a pious woman. So despite her bad experience with the Catholic Church, she didn't reject religion. So as devotees, we have a great responsibility to Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, as well as to ourselves and to other living beings, to properly understand and apply the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Because, as Prabhupada said, and as it confirmed by the most exalted devotees of Krishna, you know the verse, right, Maharaj, about the... You want to say it for us? Tavakatamritam? Okay. Tatmajiv. Kavibir. Iditam. Kalmashapaham. I'm sentimental, so I learned these verses first. Maharaj knows the whole Bhagavad Gita. Shravana Mangalam Srimad Atatam Bhuvi Grinanti Ye Bhurida Jana. Tell us the essence, Maharaj. Ecstatic, huh? It's really ecstatic. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in the material world. Should I repeat it again? It's nectar. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in the material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. And Prabhupada continues in the purport. This movement is giving human society information about the kingdom of God. There is God, there is Krishna, and everyone can return to God and live eternally in bliss and knowledge. A Krishna-conscious person is not afraid of giving up the body because his position is always eternal. A Krishna-conscious person engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord eternally. Therefore, as long as he lives within the body, he is happy to engage in the loving service of the Lord. And when he gives up the body, he is also permanently situated in the loving service of the Lord. Saintly devotees are always free and liberated, whereas the karmis, who have no knowledge of spiritual life, or the transcendental loving service of the Lord are very much afraid of giving up the rotten material body. This reminded me that you've heard of the great romance story of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. As far as material life is concerned, it's really romance. Of course, we know the real romance is with Krishna and his loving consorts, but if you want to take it from the material viewpoint, they had the best they could get in the material world. Anyone could get it. And it also ended in the best results. But, of course, the deal was that Kardama Muni said, I'll stay with Devahuti until she has children, and then I'm going to continue my spiritual life. You know this story? From the Bhagavatam? Okay. So, that was after Devahuti had 9 beautiful daughters. Kardama Muni got up to leave. But at that time, Devahuti kind of came out of the cloud of materialistic happiness. Although it was very exalted materialistic happiness, she still kind of... So she said to Kardama Muni as he was leaving, my Lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me. Yet because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness also. Not knowing your transcendental situation, I have loved you while remaining attached to the objects of the senses. Nonetheless, let the affinity I have developed for you rid me of all fear. Did you understand that? She said, nonetheless, let my devotion for you... You got it. Okay. Okay, so it's okay. Okay. Anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life, anyone whose ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered dead, although he is breathing. My Lord, surely I have been solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shrivada Gopinath Ki Jai. For in spite of having obtained your association, which gives liberation from material bondage, I did not seek such liberation. So Prabhupada, what Devahuti is saying, although association with a pure devotee is always beneficial, unless we pick up the real benefit, we may find ourselves lamenting that we didn't take seriously enough understanding and applying his instructions, and thus we miss the real gift of freedom from bodily identification, which he's so kindly giving to us. So our Krishna consciousness movement is full with opportunities for assimilating this knowledge, but it's up to us individually and collectively to take advantage of this knowledge. And not that we should become lulled into some kind of complacency because we're living a very happy life, and nor should we become negatively disposed to the karmis, which are actually not even karmis, they're vikarmis. But in any case, we shouldn't try to become like that. But we should try seriously to advance in spiritual life and develop real Vaishnava qualities as Yadananda Maharaj has been mentioning a lot lately. And by these qualities, we will attract the Lord's mercy, and he will empower us to help others to similarly advance in devotional service. Well, thank you for listening patiently. If anyone has a comment, Marsha, would you like to say something, add something? Thank you. Any questions or comments? Or... Yes, Prabhu? If you can keep it a little short, okay? So, because we have so much time, not much time left. Okay. So that's like you. So yeah, you had that realization that the only shelter is hearing the Lord's glories. You mean for everyone, not only for those who are distressed? Is that what you mean? Okay, so you mean it could be misunderstood that it's the shelter for the distressed, but the rest of us can enjoy material life? Huh? Okay. Okay, so is that the point also, that everyone is distressed, even though we may think, may not realize it? Okay, thank you. Any other points? Yes, I'm trying to move. Srila Prabhupada says that any happiness that we have based on the mind or the body, it's ignorance, actually. It's just like a person who's intoxicated by taking all kinds of drugs. You can see them on the street. They're like laughing and joking. But anyone who's a little bit more sane will see these people are suffering like anything. And in the heavenly planets, they think we're suffering like anything. In the spiritual sky, they see everybody's suffering like anything. So a person who's in knowledge is not fooled by the idea that others look like they're happy. They realize that even if they are happy or thinking that they're happy, that happiness cannot last, and it's based on ignorance. And how can a soul be truly happy being separated from the source of all happiness and love, which is Krishna? It can only be an illusion. And I must admit that I'm subject to that illusion, and that's why it's important to hear and chant with devotees, otherwise the illusion just keeps coming over. Yes,
so we're talking about the person is getting like very fed, right?
Talking about?
He's getting very fed, you know, has been fed and sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah, so you said that when the family left and then put the request for
fearlessness. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, he gave her the greatest fearlessness. He agreed to stay long enough that by his prayers and by his purity, he could invoke Kapiladev to descend as their son. And then he left. He was ready to leave, yeah. She said, please, don't leave me. I need, you know, I'm still afraid of material existence. And then... Then Kapiladev descended, and Kardama Muni asked Kapiladev for permission to leave. It's interesting, Prabhupada says different things about it, but it seems that Kardama Muni wanted to fulfill his own word, and he also wanted to set the example, because you wonder, why would he leave if the goal is right in front of him? But he had to fulfill his own vow, and he had to set the example. Isn't it, Maharaj? Anything? Yeah. It's all right?
Yes, that's what I wanted to do. I never thought about it. Was it good that, like, his food isn't on the planet? He left.
Yeah, Prabhupada mentions that. And there's a nice picture where Kapiladev's sitting. The devotees have painted some really beautiful pictures of these scenes, and Kapiladev's sitting there, and Kardama Muni is begging permission to leave. You normally don't beg your son permission to leave, but if it's Kapiladev, then... Okay, last point. It should be like that. For some of us, it's more evident than others, but we carry on in quiet desperation. Maybe sometimes not so quiet. But in any case, anyone who spent their life, so sometimes we see devotees who have spent their life practicing Krishna consciousness, and they may not be able to have completely clear consciousness at the end, by circumstances or whatever. But we have to rest assured that Krishna will bless that devotee to have full opportunities to advance in spiritual life. There's no, there's, as it said in Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, that he's talking about how the yogi, Krishna is explaining how the yogi makes all preparations to leave the body. But Prabhupada says a devotee sincerely engaged in devotional service is not so very worried, because he trusts that Krishna will make the best arrangements. Although, of course, he has, you know, he will try to make the best arrangements, but in that ultimately it depends on Krishna's mercy. And so the devotee always remains dependent. Is that right, Maharaj? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.